Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Code Enforcement Board meeting of May 12, 2016. And I'll call the meeting to order. Madam Secretary, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Mr. Wetterholt?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
And Mrs. House did call and say she was unable to attend today. Previously arranged vacation schedule. And Mrs. Kundig?
Present. All right, motion to excuse Mrs. House?
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes from last month? Are there any additions or corrections? All right, hearing none, Chair will accept a motion to approve minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Would anyone like to disclose any ex parte communication? I am going to have to disclose ex parte communication. It is case number. Let me get the case number. Case number 6. CEB 0216-12, James D. King and Joanne DeBaron at 507 Jessamine. I have had too many emails, too many conversations, and I don't feel that I can participate by voting at this point. Because I have received ex parte communication.
That's not usually a great thing. You still love it. So, as long as you have a conflict, you can vote. As long as you disclose your department, you don't have to.
Do you have to turn that, those emails?
I did. Over? I did. I turned them into Amy.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
So that I don't have to. I just have to disclose. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
I mean, if you feel uncomfortable, that's fine. I'm just saying that there's no conflict of interest. That's not a conflict of interest problem.
No, there is no conflict of interest.
And you disclose all of your emails.
I have
disclosed
my emails.
And I'm assuming that's not going to affect your vote. You're going to vote on what's due for a day today.
All right.
But
then that's fine. I just wanted to.
No, that's the problem.
Okay.
Do you have any answer to the emails?
No, I sent them to Amy. The only answer. I mean, I said I can't receive any more communication. So
I don't have a problem. As long as you give everything to Amy,
yeah.
And you've not responded, and other than you don't have a conflict, I don't see a conflict. But you've got to do what you think is best, though.
Okay. Well, then I just wanted to disclose that. That's
okay.
All. Then
you
I
did.
Will be happy to.
And that's fine. That's what you're
okay.
For.
Good.
So
okay.
I told the agenda.
Good. All right. Madam Secretary, do we have any announcements?
Yes, Madam Chair. Sorry, I don't have a microphone with me. We have a few cases that are in compliance that aren't reflected on the agenda. Actually, if you'd like me to go ahead and read the compliances into the record that are, I can do that as well.
Okay.
We'll start with number 3, CEB 1214-130 for 1404 North Atlantic Avenue. It's in compliance as of May 3rd,
great.
2016.
Terrific.
Number 7, case number CEB 021608 for 325 West International Speedway Boulevard. It's in compliance as of May 6, 2016. And then on page 5, under new cases, we have number 15, CEB 051624 for South Coast Street, which is a vacant lot. It was in compliance May 10, 2016. And number 20, CEB 051629 for 950 Glenwood Street, in compliance as of May 2nd, 2016. And number 21, case number CEB 051630 for 640 Madison Avenue, in compliance as of May 11th, 2016. And I believe that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Would our code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
Have we approved the minutes?
We did the minutes.
We did come in?
Yeah.
I must have been asleep.
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all your responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. All right. Are there any attorneys present? All right. Would you like to? Yes.
We have discussed after the last meeting that not only attorneys, but if there are other people in the audience, they should be addressed first, I think, rather than make them wait for a long period of time.
Well, my only concern with that is we'll be hopping around, and I think it will almost slow things down. The reason that we do attorneys is so that people don't have to pay their attorneys. We're not. The attorneys are paid by the hour, and we're simply trying to not have attorneys sit here for 2 hours. It was mine. That is true, and I agree with that. Let's do this one first, and then if somebody wants to make a motion that we go out of order, that'll be.
Or you could ask if there's somebody in the audience that, you know.
Okay. First, we'll. What case is this?
Number 2,
please. All right. Case number 2, Bayshore Bath and Tennis Club Condo Association, 925 North Halifax, and we're just here for a progress report.
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Good morning.
And good morning, Madam Chairman and members of the board. I'm Attorney Christopher Wickersham, and I have the pleasure of representing the Bayshore Bath and Tennis Club Condominium Association. And this has been a long process, but the progress is being made. The fireproofing is completed, which was one of our major hurdles to overcome. So that's a major hurdle out of the way. As you know, we not only have a contractor doing the work, and we had to have fire folks putting in the right material. We've had an engineer, Mr. Joe Hiller, on the job the whole time. And during his inspections, when the fireproofing was almost complete, he did find another beam that appeared to have corrosion on it. So they had to take out another section in order to treat and bring that back down to bare metal and prep it properly and complete that. We did have a little bit of a delay with that issue, but it's been faced and it's been accomplished. But I would like Mr. Hiller, if I may, Madam Chairman, just have a few words with you from the engineering viewpoint, because he knows the technical things.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Hiller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, name for the record, please.
Joseph Hiller.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about providing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
My name is Joseph Hiller. I'm from Port Orange, Florida. I'm the structural engineer for the Bayshore Bath and Tennis Center. As Mr. Wickersham was saying, the fireproofing was completed and inspected on both parking level A and B on April the 7th. And our goal was, of course, to have all the fireproofing done by April 30th. I was actually hoping to have the entire project done, but in the course of doing it, we found an exterior beam that needed to be repaired. So I had them do some exploratory portions, and then when I found out that it was more extensive, I had them open up an outside wall on the exterior of the parking structure, and I designed a repair. They've implemented it. It's been inspected. The Universal Engineering has done inspections on the welds to make sure everything has been done. It's been painted. They've been putting the wall back in place. So they're pretty much done with the entire project.
Wow.
So everything has been going along just fine.
Good. Mr. Klieg, do you have anything that you'd like to add to this? Or Mr. Jackson?
No. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Madam Chair, members of the board. The only thing, I don't think we have a compliance date, and I don't know if we want to set one. Yes. But, yeah, other than that, everything else was as we expected, and it sounds like they're making good progress.
Okay. Mr. Cleve, anything? Okay. This has been a welcome progress report. I know it's been a long time, and I know it cost a lot of money, and you did everything with due diligence, and if it's time to set a compliance date, I think it's time to do that. We've been having progress reports. Do you have an idea of when the project will be ready to be in compliance?
My estimation would be 30 days from today.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Considering the rain and everything, won't bother you?
No, as a matter of fact, like I said, most of the construction is already done. We're just wrapping up the paperwork at this point.
Good. All right, the chair will accept a motion to have this project come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is June 1st, 2016. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion from Mr. Smart, second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you very much for your cooperation.
Compliance, they have to be back.
Yes, we're set. Yes, yeah, they okay. Need to come back.
Need to come back.
Right, for compliance next month.
And that date would be?
The meeting day is June 9th.
Thank you so much.
So if it's in compliance by June 1st, they wouldn't.
No. Right, well, correct.
That was a question.
Correct, okay.
And we appreciate the help and working with us that this work has done.
Good, thank you.
And Mr. Jackson. And Mr. Cliff. Thank you.
This is the outcome we wanted. All right, let's go back to our lien review. Lien review 1, case number CEB06-13-56488 Gulf Boulevard, James Rakiki. Is the respondent present?
Yes, ma'am.
Please come forward.
Guys.
Neil. Please state your name and address for the record,
James,
sir.
James Rakiki, 488 Gulf Boulevard.
Raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, I think we're going to hear from Mr. Jackson first.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a lien review. You have a copy of Mr. Rakiki's application. He had a number of circumstances. Those are circumstances.
Could you go over those? I had a hard time. I'm sorry. I just had a hard time reading the print.
Too, so I don't know if Mr. Rakiki wants to hear from him.
You may want to just have him. It may be more helpful to us if he explained about. However, I can tell you this.
Yeah, well, you do your part first, and then we'll ask him to explain. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. The from what the inspector knows and recalls from the case itself and the circumstances that Mr. Rakiki had been going through with, particularly he makes reference of the issue of having been incarcerated. That was something we had dealt with and talked about during, because it was something that occurred during the period of the meeting. He also was looking for going to the Board of Adjustment. The nature of the egregiousness was not all that severe. Ultimately, he's done a lot of work. It's now in compliance. The inspector is recommending that it be reduced to a fine of $1,000.
And that will cover all the code costs?
Yes. After discussion, that would be sufficient. For staff feels that would be sufficient.
And Jack, so you have payable within 30 days?
Yes, payable within 30 days.
All right. Mr. Rakiki, what can you tell us?
Well,
how did you resolve this?
Well, I tore it down myself after a couple of months.
Okay.
But in 2004, during the hurricane season came, it blew my roof off of my house, my garage roof, and back of my garage. Mm-hmm. Channel News was there. They filmed it all. It was on TV and everything. I came down here to get a permit to put my roofs on my garage and everything, and they said I didn't have to have one because of a state emergency. I built a hurricane room on the back of my garage, which I had it surveyed, architect, and everything, with no electricity, no water, and everything, because I have a neighbor, Jerry Lippe, kept calling all the time because of the room, because they didn't like me, and a friend of mine was staying there, a blind girl, because she got her house because her electric wasn't really turned on. And so I complied. I was applying for a variance, and I had everything going with the variance, and I got in trouble. And after the incident came, I got on, I found out about it. They stole all my credit cards. I had no credit, zero credit. I had 8.5. No, I can't afford even to buy water. I'm a disabled vet. I get a check and a Social Security check. And right now, I'm about to lose my house because the back mortgage is payment when I was incarcerated.
Okay, we're not here to try the case again. If you're in compliance, we just want to know what your hardship is that makes you not able to pay this and why you think that we should...
Well, I get $1,200 from the VA and $500 Social Security. My mortgage is $600. The time I pay my electric and that, I eat out of dumpsters half the time. I go and collect food. And I'm bothering. If I lose my house, I'll be on the streets.
Okay.
Here's all my...
Go ahead. Could you read this for me?
Do you have a copy of that hardship? We were having trouble reading your handwriting.
I have rheumatoid arthritis and Asian orange, and it's hard for me to write my handwriting. I was in prison at the time. Nobody notified me about the building had to be tore down. After I got out, I found out about it, and I called Mr. Garcia's office. And then he told me I have to, get plans, get a permit, and all this stuff. And so then I tore it down. I'm a disabled vet. I get $1,200 a month plus $500 a month Social Security. The time I pay my bills and everything, there's nothing left.
What's at the bottom there?
You wrote on the back.
Oh.
I apologize. I should
have my glass. Mr. Fitzgerald was at my house at the time I was arrested. He knew I couldn't tear it down and never told me or sent me paperwork to have someone done while I was incarcerated. All my credit cards were stolen and my checkbooks. I got in here from every bank. I owe $20,000 in credit right now. And they're on dispute because of the people, Dan Viva and... Chris Sacco was staying at my house and didn't pay my brother no rent.
But right here, Mr. Rupicki, is why not? Is at the bottom there?
The front page. Mm-hmm. Oh, I said, why not leave the things the way they were? I've been here 45 years during the hurricane room. There was no electric water, not just a hurricane room. Jerry Lippe kept calling the code enforcement over and over and over. And being a taxpayer, I think things are wrong.
Okay. But you are in compliance now. And code officers agree you are in compliance. Now, it's going to be our job to decide, and they have recommended that we reduce the lien amount to $1,000. And that will cover the city costs for everything that's gone on. So, as far as I'm concerned, the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $1,000, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. So please get with the secretary.
I can't get no more time, to pay, I only get so much out of my check. I got a mortgage. I'm just 2 months behind. I'm going to try to catch up. And I can't get no credit. I can't get no loan because the people that, spread it off.
I understand.
And I can't get no money for nobody. I need a little more time.
Mr. Jackson, can he ask the city for payment schedule?
Well, we don't really have a real mechanism for managing a payment schedule. What we can do, though, I just spoke with the inspector, and it would not be unusual if the board felt that the situation was such that it can grant more time, we have no objection to additional time, whether it's 90 days or even more. But he'd have to set it aside and then go ahead and make the payment. It's not something where we are able to really take the installments. And I could look to Ms. Hampton, but I know she doesn't have a means to do that.
We don't have a mechanism for taking payments.
And keeping the record and doing those things.
If I could have 90 days, I could sell something, possibly, you know, my truck or something, or get something, you know, have the state sell my something out of my house. But right now, my check's in. Like I said, I can't borrow a dime from the bank.
I understand. All right. Yes, Mrs. Himes.
I'd like to make a motion to extend it for 90 days. If this is not paid in its entirety, it will revert back to the $15,924.
All right. Mrs. Himes has made a motion to amend our previous motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion. Roll call vote? Okay, we need a roll call.
Can everybody just. Okay. Mr. Weatherholt?
Yes.
Mrs. Himes?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Cundick?
Yes. All right, motion carries.
Thank you.
So please get with Ms. Hampton. And she will tell you what to do. Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair, I'd like for the records to reflect with Mr. Jackson to state to him the severity of this, that it is, if it is not paid in its entirety within 90 days, what will happen?
Right. I understand. I'll have I'll
stay
right. Right. I know that's why I can't borrow no money now because there's a lien on the house. SunTrust won't give me no money. I've been a banker for 45 years with SunTrust. I can't borrow
okay.
no money.
Well, you have 90 days
right.
to collect
I'll,
money
yeah,
and
put my
bring
truck
it,
up for
yeah.
sale or sell something.
And Ms. Hampton will tell you how to do that.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go back to the hearing of our regular cases. Are all the people in the audience here for specific cases? So,
and if we could just make sure you guys have your microphones on and bring them
here. I'm just going to suggest then, since everybody here is for a case, I can't decide who should go first, who should go second. I'm just going to go forward. And keep it moving.
Let me make a suggestion. We have a workshop
Sorry.
Coming up next month. We want to talk about. We could add that to the workshop agenda to talk about, you know, policy. Just for example, I know that Volusia County, what they do is they go through their whole role and whoever, and they just take the people out of here first. And I think that's what Mr. Jones is looking for, but not today necessarily. But it might be a way to handle that in
yeah.
the future.
All right. Because generally, when people aren't here, the cases don't take as long.
They put them at the end.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's start with case number one. CEB 11-15-65, Chamisa Holdings, LLC, and Hotel Del Mar at 209 South Ridgewood. Respondent present? No. All right. They're supposed to be here for a progress report, Mr. Newell or Mr. Jackson. Do you like to address this?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the board, good morning. Inspecting the property yesterday, I can tell you that they have received the permit from the city, which of last meeting it was being had not been approved by the city. At this time, it has been approved. They have made significant work. So the progress is acceptable by myself. They are steadfast in moving forward. If you look at the pictures, you'll see some foundation work that's been done since the last meeting from the approval. So they are, you know, moving forward with that. So estimated time that they said it should be or could be done would be in hopefully within the next, you know, 60 days, maybe 90 at most.
Mr. Newell, who
yes.
is the person delegated to speak for who should have been here, Eddie?
The delegate, I'm not really sure. I do know the gentleman who owns the property is out of the country, so typically in the past it has been the contractor. So I have been in contact with him also. And, you know, again, I believe the progress moving forward is acceptable.
Next time you visit them, remind them that they're supposed to come or have some representative here. That's the reason for having a progress report.
Absolutely.
If there's some hardship, then at least write a letter or something to indicate that they're respecting this decision we made to give them a progress report.
Absolutely. I will pass that along to the contractor.
Mm-hmm. All right. The compliance date is set for 7/6, the July meeting, July cutoff date. So do you expect that they'll be able to make that? I think we just leave this alone and move on, and we'll see what happens in July. And yeah, okay. So
correct.
We'll just continue with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we did case number 2. Case number 3 is in compliance. Case number 4, CEB 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association. And this is also at 800 North Atlantic, and this is also a progress report. Now, come be sworn in. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Steve Merchant.
Steve and folks.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Jackson and Mr. Klieg.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a progress report. As you may recall, we were looking for a timeline and looking at the life safety issues. This has kind of had some issues on this contract. The inspector wants to address the board. There's some updates that he's received most recently from the contractor. So the inspector in this case is Tom Klieg, so I'll attend to Mr. Klieg to the board.
Okay. Mr. Klieg, good morning.
Good morning. Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. This is condos at 800 North Atlantic. I talked to the contractor, AAT Restoration, and I just wanted to verify with the condo people. He told me basically that the center column they're going to be doing right now, instead of emergency shoring, they're going to be doing regular shoring on it by the ramp that goes down that we looked at before. My concern was, in the timeline is I asked him when this would be, the whole progress would be done with this building. He's telling me that by January of 2017, it'll be started on with a January 2018 possible completion date. So I don't know if they can bring some more further update on it, but they're talking like a 2-year progress on this thing, and I think we needed to get maybe the contractor or board to give us more progress of what he's doing, or what, unless the board knows a little bit more. And I just wanted to address you on that part.
All right. I just want to make a few comments first. First notification went out on 9/17/2015. I mean, so that's what, 9 months ago, probably something like that. And you're asking for several years more.
That's what the contract. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then come up and tell us what year. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Out of place.
Okay.
The ma'am, if I could provide, I have the letter from the attorney from the contractor that was just sent to me, I believe yesterday, and I'm prepared to point out the key points of it that I believe are a little bit different than he must have explained to the inspector. The key points that I'm going to go and walk through this, if you're prepared, I believe that there are five. The first one is the board, I did as the president, signed all necessary documents and change orders to move forward with the entire project that was originally permitted in August of 2015 with AAT Restoration Group as the contractor. I signed that under the direction of the board of directors on 5/10/16. And we also did updated contract with LP Engineering as the engineer of record. Immediately when the meeting was done last month, We moved forward just exactly as we had said. We met with the engineer. We met with the contractor. We, because there had been a time delay, there was a bit of renegotiation on their behalf, adjusting the fees, which we signed and agreed to those to move forward, understanding the urgency of this. Point number two, LP Engineering has provided AAT with shoring drawings and specifications for the primary column area of the structure deemed to be life safety issue. I have provided that, the updated shoring diagram that was presented to me when they went back in and did the recent work to make sure of the current status that they were going to shore it properly, was my understanding. Point number three, AAT Restoration is planning to send a crew and begin installing the shoring on the primary columns of area directed by LP Engineering on May 16th. Just a few days from now, that's already set in place. The demolition and repairs of the shored areas will begin in early June 2016, which was what our previous briefs had been, and it was certainly my understanding that that was incorrect. And it will commence. They will have crews on place when that work starts in this letter, and is what we've agreed to in our contract, and to complete that work until it's completely done. That's not the January 2017 information. The January 2017 information, I will continue, is point number five. The remainder of the complete building restoration and coating project is scheduled to begin January 9, 2017, and will complete all areas currently permitted by the original permitting. That was not the emergency issue, my understanding, that we were here to address anyway. That's all the additional work that we're having done there by the association. And the disconnect, the delay of that, was to allow time for the special assessment or financing to pay for the full amount of work it had to get done. And as I said the very first time when I took over being president of the association and I stood here, is that I understand the seriousness in this, and we've moved it forward, you know, as quickly as we can, I believe, to be standing here today. I appreciate how nice you've been to us. Thank you.
Okay. Now, some questions. Would you like to say anything, sir?
Madam Chair, the only comments I've got is, as Mr. Mertens has mentioned...
Will you state your name and address?
Sorry, it's Stephen Folks, and I'm the Vice President, 502-800 North Atlantic. We've got two projects going on. We've got the emergency project, which is the shorings and the restoration work of the concrete and rebars. Then we've got what I would term cosmetic, which is to bring the building, make it more modern than it is now. That's not the emergency part. The emergency part is what we're concerned with right now, which should be done, should be commenced in June, and take 30, maybe 60 days to complete. That's the part that we've got a problem with yourselves. That's the part we want to get done by summer. The rest of it is just cosmetic, painting, a bit of touch-up on some of the concrete that's there on the building. But that part, as I understand it, is not the urgent emergency work. That's being done first.
Do you have the financing to complete these projects?
We have the financing to complete the emergency work by the summer, yes. The rest of it, the painting, all the rest of it, that's being done by way of a special assessment. But the work we're going to do right now that's going to start next week...
That is finance.
We've got the funds for that, yes. We have the funds.
My understanding, that's not part of the complaint.
According to the inspector, it is part of the complaint. It's sound like what I'm hearing is that we're hearing a phasing. That our first phase is taking care of structural stuff, which is the greatest concern. And then the second phase being these cosmetic things, which are pushed back to apparently the January date.
Well,
that's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
I don't know if that's...
Mr. Jackson, can I ask you a question? Are the cosmetic things in the complaint?
Now I have to look to the inspector first.
Mr. Clay?
Yeah,
Officer Clay got it. Yeah, that's part of the cosmetic part. Was the waterproofing, the balconies, and so forth.
We're calling that cosmetic?
Yes, not the rebar part, which was the exposure, but the actual, you know, flaking of the paint and so forth.
So that all of it is still part of
the last phase, right? Right, the structural part.
Okay.
So there's no structural integrity or balconies?
There's until the engineer got a report, there was some structural, the rebar exposed from some of the balconies that I seen. But like I said, some of them were starting to flake and so forth, so they were not actually exposed yet. So that's why part of the violation was for the cosmetic part of it. Until the engineer signed off on it, or our people signed off on it, we were still in violation.
Because, see, with that long in non-compliance, even though that they're classified as cosmetic now, if they're not temporarily at least taken care of, it'll turn into structure.
Right, that's why the violation was there for that purpose itself.
And that's a reason for extending it a long period of time.
Right.
Could be a problem. Could be.
As long as the engineer signed off or our people signed
off,
that's what I was concerned about.
Yes, sir.
And if I may, just for Mr. Weatherholtz, because you're new on board and as a contractor, you'll understand what the circumstance is. They had a situation where they had one engineer and then they had a problem with the permitting where they couldn't make it work. With the one engineer, they tried to switch to another engineer, and then that became even a bigger problem, and ultimately they ended up having to go back to the original engineer. So that, I think, was, not engineer, but contractors. Contractor to contractor to contractor. And so that's much of the delay is really that, and not just... So do understand now that it's explained why they're here, and it didn't happen back in August. That's me as attorney, not the board. The board has to make its own conclusions. But I understand what they're saying in the sense that normally we would expect that back in August and September, October, things were happening. I think we came up here historically and made an argument concerning that. But at this stage, we know that they've shifted back to the original engineer, and they're almost kind of at a starting – an original contractor and engineer, and almost at a starting point once again.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you, sir, for that update. And sir, just to move that in perspective, none of the present current board of directors were on that board. The board tried to move this forward. There was great uproar of the ownership, which is not your concern. The new board took over and immediately has been here and consistently moved this forward. And the only reason that there was a second engineer involved was to get the actual, to make sure that everything that needed to be done, that it was done properly. We're back with the original engineer because there was a contract in place, and we've chosen to honor that contract and move forward accordingly. The January 17th delay for all the stuff, that was not even by our choice. Our choice was to move this forward, and just like in this for the May 16th start, even that part, that's by the choice of the contractor saying that that's his timeline, the best that he can get there to be able to do that. So we're here to move this forward consistently and stay just everything we tell you we're going to do, we're doing the best we can to make sure that that's correct.
So is the life safety issue taken care of at this point, Mr. Klieg?
As far as the engineer signed off and the permit signed off, it was emergency shoring done to the center column.
So
to answer your question, that one specific area that the engineer was concerned about, yes. The other parts are unknown right now.
Okay. So the immediate life safety issue has been taken care of.
Emergency shoring was
emergency
correct.
Shoring. And you are proposing to do the shoring completely, to finish that project and...
Yeah.
Within how long?
According to the document even provided from AAT, is that they will start on May 16th,
mm-hmm.
and then the completion date, basically, and I don't want to speak out of place, let me just glance at to make sure what I'm saying. They're going to begin installing shoring on the primary columns May 16th. The demolition and all repairs of all the shoring will begin June 2016, and those crews, with those dedicated crews for that job, will stay in place until that's completed.
Okay.
If I may, Madam Chair, members of the board, this timeline, I'll call it that, appears to be adequate and acceptable to the inspector. As I spoke with the inspector, we haven't received a copy.
Okay.
This is the first that we've seen of this, and we'll make sure that and this is the one that was just passed around, and we'll mm-hmm. make sure Ms. Hampton puts that in the record. Only thing bothers me about it is that we don't have the signed copy from AAT. This is not signed. And
now, AAT is the contractor. Have they been here before us? As
ma'am, I don't know that answer, and because by the time that we took over as the board, that they were not involved with us at the time period, other than legally, and that was sent to me. It was sent to me by email, which I have documentation that came from Mr. Turcotte directly to me, and I asked Mr. Turcotte, the engineer, to be here today, the contractor. I apologize, and I actually reached out and asked for Lou Perros to be here as well, and Mr. Perros, I believe, would have been, and he's had a family emergency and has left the country. So I apologize. I'm not an engineer or expert to speak to you adequately.
I think that next month I would like to see the engineer here and get some more detailed information from the engineer, the contractor as well.
Yeah,
it would be helpful to us. Let's put it that way.
Yes, ma'am. I'll make it clear to them even today. I'll reach out that they're to be here next month.
Yeah, the inspector indicates they had been here before, but I don't think they've been able to put us where we are now and understanding everything.
Right. Okay.
So it would be, I agree, it would be wonderful to have them here.
Do we have more comments from the board?
No, I'd like to move that we accept the progress report and then we expect one next month.
Are we scheduling, Mrs. Hampton, do we have a progress report, just a continual progress
in
place?
We have progress reports monthly scheduled right now throughout the end of the year. Well, December 18th, 2016 is the last one. So,
is this satisfactory to code officers and... Or do we want to, one of the things I'm thinking about is with this shoring, that we make sure that it's done in a reasonable amount of time. Do we want to set a compliance date for that shoring, or do we, it's up to the board to discuss things, or do we need not to do that?
Okay, am I understanding wrong? I thought the emergency part of
the emergency part is done. Right. The emergency part is done.
That was the thing we were really concerned about.
Right, okay.
If I may address you, ma'am. Before they came aboard, the engineer was here, and he did concern about the life safety issue.
Right.
And there, that's why a permit was issued and the emergency shoring was done. So, but like I said, the AAT restoration people have never been here to testify or anything yet. So.
Okay.
And this timeline's sufficient for us, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, then we don't need to make any motions or do anything. We'll see you next month, and hopefully the project will be started and we'll be on the move.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you very much for everybody.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, this could wait to the end, but since Mr. Sino introduced something for the workshop, I would like to suggest that we have a good session on what a progress report is, what we expect of it, and how a little firmer understanding on the part of our board so that we can convey that to people when we issue a progress report. Because
we're standardized.
We went from A to Z here already.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, we're going to move. We can talk about that at the end, or we can talk about it at our workshop, I would think.
Just suggesting it.
Yeah.
So we don't forget it, just put it on the workshop.
We'll just put it on the on the workshop. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Case number 5, CEB 11-15-59. Roy L. Doveberg at 836 North Oleander. This is a progress report with compliance set for 6/1/16. Good morning.
Good morning.
Roy Doveberg.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. Hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Klieg.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, just a reminder that this is a case where Mr. Duckburg has a structure that was fire damaged. It's being has been remedied that, and we've been waiting on that. It's been held up in litigation. He was scheduled for mediation, and this report is a report that we're expecting to be post-mediation to hear what happened in terms of getting the getting a remedy where we can have the structure presumably demolished. I do have the inspector of the case is Mr. Clegg, and he would like to address the board as well.
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file, 836 North Oleander. Mr. Dunberg called me, and I believe his attorney talked to me, too, about the mediation was solved. And I asked Mr. Dunberg what he's going to do now, and I think he told me that he's going to get either like a dual permit to demo part of it and to remodel part of it. So right now what the city's requiring is to obtain that permit within 30 days and either the demo part or the remodel of the house, and I believe he'll tell you what he wants to do.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dunberg.
Well, May 4th.
Would you speak into the mic? Thank you.
May 4th. I went to mediation, and we resolved it, and I didn't want to...
You what?
Resolved.
Good.
Resolved that part. I didn't want to wait another 8-9 months. We weren't really happy with what we got. And then on top of that, we would have to get to a court with a jury, and that would have taken another 6 months, or that would have taken another year and a half. So I decided just to take less money and go with a smaller structure if I... when it comes to it, but the main goal is to tear down the burn structure. I should be receiving a check. They said everything would be within 45 days. Going back and forth with the paperwork that I already sent it all out, so now it has to get it to the insurance company. But I'm hoping it'll get done within 3 weeks. Then on top of that, once I get the check, I have 2 months to find new insurance, so I have a deadline on the 2 months, but I'm hoping to have everything done within 1 month. So I'm trying to be optimistic and getting everything done. In the meanwhile, I went to the permitting office downstairs and started going through all the yellow things that are underlined, and the gas company was out there 6:30 this morning. The electric is disconnected. All I have left is the water that has to be cut back to the driveway. So all that stuff inside there won't be there soon. So I have... I'm trying to get everything done at half speed, you know.
Twice the speed.
Twice the speed. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where it stands. And then in the meanwhile, I'll look for... So in other words, my goal is to tear it down and have it graded and seeded and just be right. A clean slate. And then after that...
Then go from there.
I'd rather wait till after the summer, have
new
child in the family that I have to go 1,000 miles for, and I'm going to spend some time up.
Well, it just needs to be... This structure needs to be taken care of. That's what we're interested in right now.
Yes.
And we have a compliance date that is set for... 6/1/16, so we don't have to do anything else other than...
Well, that's kind of...
We don't have to make any motions or do anything. Come back here in June.
That's June 1st. I'm not going to make it. I'll barely have the check in time. So I figured 3 weeks on top of that. So it's going to take me into June. And I planned on having everything done by the beginning of... July, and then I want everything done, graded, seated, everything complete so I can travel to see family.
When do you plan on having the yellow things filled out and submitted to the...
I'm glad you brought that up. I was doing everything on this list right here, and I found one person one company who's going to do this for me.
Okay.
So in other words,
that'll be in, say, a week. So by the time you come back here, you're at least one thing's going to be done. You have your demo permit.
That'll be done by the company that I choose. I have two companies. One that'll that I have to do the permitting, and one where they'll be doing the permitting, so I won't have to do this, but I've already...
All right. I would like this board to see the demo permit the next time you come here.
Oh, okay. And when would that be?
June the 1st. June 9th
is the meeting day. His current compliance day is June
1st. Okay.
It'll be on the June 9th agenda.
Okay, well, hopefully I'll have it done before that. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic. I assume that I can get the permit before I receive the check from the insurance company.
I think you probably could. Is that right, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's the desire
to
staff.
So I would be in favor of leaving the compliance date as is and coming back on the 9th, showing us the progress and the permit. And then if we decide to extend the compliance date for another month due to circumstances, we can do it at that time. Is that acceptable to everyone or anyone else have comments? Okay.
Yeah, I've been going as fast as I can. I did the paperwork right away, faxed it, went over to the UPS store because I no longer have a home phone number to fax with.
Okay.
And
All right, well, just next month, I know that what the board would like to see is the permit for demolition.
This permit, okay. All right.
And then we'll go from there and see where you are with the rest, with progress. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, if I have the permit, do I still come in?
Yes.
Show the permit?
Yes. Please.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And that'll be the 9th of
June. 9th of June.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, let's move on to case number 6, CEB02-16-12, James D. King and Joanne DeBaron at 507 Jessamine Boulevard. Respondents present? Please come forward. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Joanne DeBaron King, and it's 507 Jasmine Boulevard in Daytona Beach.
James King, 507 Jasmine.
Colleen Miles, Land Development Resource Group, 140 South Beach Street, Suite 400, Daytona.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, yes.
All right, please be seated, and we'll let Mr. Jackson and Mr. Klieg come forward with the case.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine on the allegations of non-conforming use, short-term rentals, or at least the finding of the board that there were non-conforming use and short-term rental. The last report we received from the respondent was that they have to go before the Historic Preservation Board, I believe, as they try and obtain the authorizations needed to be able to use the short-term rental in the manner which they seek. So the staff is requesting that we amend to the next cutoff for them to be able to go to...
For a short-term rental?
I don't
think that we're... No, that's
I have it all
correct.
Wrong. I'll have to look to the inspector, and he can explain it better
because
than that.
I don't think we allow short-term rentals, so I don't know what going before the Historic Board will do.
Right. Well,
Mr. Klieg?
Yeah. Officer Klieg, 507 Jasmine. It was for the Historic Board, but they were applying for bed and breakfast permit. So.
Well, what are we doing? You're asking us to say... that it's okay to do anything you want till you go to before a board. You shouldn't.
Mr. Harrington. Historically, if someone sought to go to a board for an alternative remedy, we've generally given them that time to do that, whether it's the Board of Adjustment or any other board. And that's the only thing that the staff is saying that we're willing to amend to the for them to seek whatever approvals, alternative approvals.
December, anyway. 6 months ago, I think, you know, we stopped this thing and say either they're allowed to do it or they're not allowed to do it.
Well, I think the answer is they're not allowed to do it, and they need to stop it if they're doing it. Our position is that it needs to stop. It should have stopped it if it hasn't, until it stops. We're not saying continue doing violating the code until you go to the board. What we're saying is that... we don't have anything that tells us that they are clear that they've stopped, and either we'll be asking for a fine or we'll be getting modifications that allow them to do alternative use of the property. But in any sense, I do want to mention, I know I had witnesses in the audience that wanted to be heard. Or at least I've been told they wanted to be heard. I have to see if that's still the case. Yes, okay. So we have Ms. Reed Mark, Ms. Galentine.
Would you like to testify now?
Or we'll let the
respondent on this case. This is an old case. This isn't a new case.
Right.
So we made that decision. They were in violation.
And it's in your jurisdiction on the decisions.
I think that sounds right to me. Also, that's why we're here, is to impose a fine. I recall that last month we were supposed to get a progress report, and I don't believe we got one. Mr. Klieg, what would you like to tell us? Are they in compliance now or not in compliance?
Right now, the witnesses that we have tell me they're not in compliance. I have not found them to be in not compliance. They took it off the website, Air Bed and Breakfast, but there's still people coming and going that the neighborhood believes that are still short-term rentals. And that's why they wanted to testify on record that they believe that there is still in violation. So they have more information on that than I do. That's why they're here to testify.
You take testimony. You've already heard the case.
We have heard the case, and we have... respondents are giving... I'm going to give the respondents a chance to reply right now. Right. Yep.
Colleen Miles on behalf of the property owners. I have been retained by them to take them through this process, which does not just require the Historic Preservation Board. It's for a special use permit to secure a bed and breakfast approval. Please excuse me. The first is a Historic Board. Next step. The step after that is a planning board. We are scheduled to go to the planning board in July. Unfortunately, due to the compressed scheduling, last meeting in July, planning board in July comes very late. There's not enough time to go to the second meeting in August for city commission approval, so we'll have to go to the first meeting in September, which I believe is September 6th off the top of my head. So until that time, they will not have approval for a bed and breakfast. And until that time, there is no activity going on in the property. The owner has attested to that. There was. There's not anymore. She's in compliance based on Mr. Klieg and her testimony. I don't know of anything different than that. Can I answer any questions?
Has the inspector actually been inside the property?
From what I understood, he had.
To answer your question, no, I have not been inside. I've been up to the front door, talked to some people that were there, and they advised me that they were family relatives, a brother, I believe. But I've never actually been inside the two homes, which to me, there's no reason there was no code violation inside.
So. Okay, well, we're talking about renters inside, so you have no way
right.
other than
well,
who drives up.
Exactly, right. And that's, like I said, that's why when I just got the information from these witnesses that there was still short-term rentals going on, and I believe they had more information than me, so that's why they wanted to testify.
So since this property was first sighted in December, have there been, we decided that there had been, that they were not in compliance, and we're here to set a fine for that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's... We could find them in non-compliance, and now in compliance, I suppose.
If it would be easier for the board, as soon as we're done with the meeting, it's fine for Mr. Klieg. I mean, I'll be glad to walk them through the houses if you'd like.
I don't think that has any bearing on it.
No, we have to...
No other code violations that we're aware of, so that really doesn't have any bearing.
We have to dispose of what we have here, which is to impose a fine.
Inspectors can't tell us whether they are or not in compliance.
How?
Because they're in compliance and the case is over with.
Mr. Cino and Madam Chair, the position of the city is that we have witnesses who. Based on their testimony, we believe that they're in non-compliance, and that's why we wanted to offer their testimony to the board so the board can make its determination. So the position of the city is that they remain in non-compliance based upon the testimony or the information received from the witnesses. And we've always understood that if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then granted, it's a factual determination to be made by this board.
We
wanted to present those facts. Yes, they've been found in noncompliance, but I think the dispute now is already currently in compliance, so remain in noncompliance.
That we found them in noncompliance. This city is still in noncompliance based upon the update it's given to you guys.
And that's our position.
Your recommendation, you're fine.
Yes, based on
the. You have the decision to say yes or no.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, our recommendation at this time was to amend, but you're right. We're at a point now that either they are or they aren't. And if they're what the division supervisor has advised me is that he is willing to accept, but this is not for the city to accept. This is the board, them giving sworn testimony as to the fact that they're no longer renting. And then if we should find and determine that they are, then we'll sanction them accordingly in the future. But that's up to the board to make that determination. We're relying on what we've received as what we believe to be competent witness testimony or evidence. And as I said, it's evidence I think probably would, because this is a separate hearing, would be rightfully heard by the board as for their own factual considerations.
I don't agree with opening up for additional either rescind. First of all, if you want to rescind the post, fine, that's fine. But unless we do that, we shouldn't be hearing any more testimony.
Well, isn't he suggesting we will find? I might have misunderstood.
Well, we're here to impose a fine.
But if she's not in noncompliance, I mean, I need to be argumentative.
Please come up to the mic. Sorry. if she's saying that she's in compliance, and the code officer found her in compliance, however, testimony saying that she's not, but you're here to impose a fine, how about a will fine? If she's found in noncompliance again, then
what happened anyway? Whether they dismissed the case or not.
Well, I'm not saying dismiss the case. I mean, you know, but a will fine would be...
We're not there yet at that point.
Okay.
Nothing, Sharon, to say with all the controversy. It's not like opening up a game. Right now, we don't know whether he is or not. And why can't he?
Well, we've already found them in noncompliance. So we're here to impose a fine. Correct.
We need to hear from the respondents instead of speaking.
All right, let's hear from the respondent. Would you like to speak to us? What?
They have the right to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I not representing her?
Yes, you. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. No, I just wondered if they wanted to speak.
Well, I mean, that's what we're saying. Yeah. She's not doing it.
As far as people coming in and out of my house.
Come up to the mic. State your name.
Joanne DeBaron King. Okay. As far as people coming in my house, I have a nurse at the hospital that works in Kissimmee. I work for Florida Hospital. She stays in the back house. Doesn't pay me anything. Takes me out to dinner once in a while, if that counts. I have a service person that comes in a couple of times a week and stays. Basically, what's happening is we're in the front house, and we're leaving the back house empty. My car has been broken into, and I've had to have people in there. So rather than leave it empty, I've let the people from the hospital, visiting nurses and whatnot, come in. But there is no money changing hands. I have applied for all the permits. I've had my neighborhood meetings. I'm going through all the hurdles to make it into the bed and breakfast. So, I mean, it's costing me a fortune to do that, but I'm trying to be in compliance.
No advertising. She's pulled everything down. She was originally misled, which isn't Noel's problem, and we're seeking legal restitution on that right now. But, I mean, she was told this is, you know, one of the Airbnb properties that was in
Please speak into the mic.
Sorry. And so, after she was in trouble, she stopped doing it because she got in trouble. So now she's following every mechanism that there is to rectify the situation. And I don't, you know where we are because I keep getting disparate information that she's in compliance. Oh, well, no, somebody else said she wasn't. I don't know how to proceed with this.
It wasn't somebody else. We had a hearing here, and we found him in
not
compliance.
No, since that time, sir, I'm sorry. Since that time, she was found in compliance, and then somehow it's been...
No, she's never been found in compliance.
Relative by the code officer. Oh. He found her in compliance. It stopped happening. There was no advertisements. There was no people.
It doesn't
there.
Say that here. We're in front of us. That is what I'm saying. There is no compliance on this case. This case says action to be taken, impose fine. It does not say property was brought into compliance on such and such a date. So the action from that's required from this board is to impose a fine. That's why we're here.
Okay.
Do we have any more discussion?
Madam Chair, if I may, understanding that the perspective of the board is that there's no need to hear from those witnesses that are present, we do have, and it's hearsay testimony, we'll hand it out, but it's comments from people who have indicated that they stayed in this property from January through March, and expressing on their website how the time they had, how much they enjoyed it, and so forth, that indicates that they continued in violation, and our position is that they remain in violation, and so the city's position is changing. We are asking for a $250 a day fine. $250 a day fine based on the information that we've obtained.
So what you're saying is they're still in non-compliance.
Right. They're still in non-compliance.
I mean, a fine till what? When does it end?
Until they come into compliance.
Until it comes into compliance.
You know that was last year, right? And nothing's happened this year, right? $250 a day till what happens? Till in perpetuity?
No.
Okay, till when?
Till they're in compliance.
Which is when?
When they're in compliance.
Okay.
We don't determine, the board won't go out and inspect the property. The code officers will go out and inspect the property.
Okay. So if he comes out today and they're in compliance, then it's till today. Right. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's
right.
Okay.
Madam Chair, again, so we hear from the respondent that we can't hear witnesses. We have reopened it in a sense, but...
Right, we have reopened it in a sense.
And Mr. Sinu, if I may, just so that it's clear that I disagree with you on your perspective that we don't hear from. We have two proceedings. We have one proceeding is the proceeding.
It has to be the compliance or non-compliance issue.
Exactly, and that's
not reopening the case again.
Right, not on the history, but why we believe that since the time that they've been told to come into compliance, that they continue to be in non-compliance. That's the issue, and so.
Well, I think they've admitted to the fact that they've been in non-compliance, but they're not going to compliance now.
They were in non-compliance based on our findings, but we're saying even as of this date, it's consistent with the conduct and what they've received based on their information to us and what testimony that we'd like to bring to you is consistent with the appearance of non-compliance. And we would agree with that.
Can you explain to me a will fine procedure? This case seems ripe to me for a will fine.
For some reason, tomorrow they're under compliance and the fine stops.
Right.
Then they go back out and they get complaints again that they're still out there doing it again. And the next time it comes back, the will fine allows you to go back to the date that they backdate the fine, the date that they found the violation, to make the fine double.
Well, up to for us, it's up to $5,000
per occurrence.
So if it's five times that we're able to identify that they've done it after, then it's up to $5,000 per occurrence.
May I ask something?
Go ahead.
The witnesses have taken the time, the residents of Daytona Beach have taken the time to come here to address the board. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to persuade the board's decision. That's up to the board members. But at least to hear, since they've taken their time to come here. Now, I don't see... I don't see that that's going to hurt. That's my opinion. I mean, it's up to the board, the members of the board.
I would be perfectly happy to have people come testify. If it's going to help.
She knows.
Bring them on up, but they have to be the issue of compliance and non-compliance.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's not it's not that. It's just
we're not reopening the case. But it will I would think it would help us make a decision about whether we do a will fine or just a regular fine.
Not in a will fine. Just a regular fine. They haven't been decided before today, right? This is the first time we've found this.
No, they've been
Have they been in front of it before?
No. The question that they've been found in non-compliance in this case.
Not before. No.
But not in the past. Right. So this would be simply. Yeah.
So if they're found in compliance, if they do it again.
Right. There's no will fine today.
At that time.
So then they would come back for a will fine at that point.
Yeah. We'd have to make a finding that they're currently in compliance. Or that they're.
Right. Correct. All right. Let's hear from the witnesses. Please come forward.
Someone.
Is that acceptable to everybody on the board?
Yes. So you're going to tell you will find you have to eliminate this imposed fine.
Hi, Anita Galantine, 836 North Grandview.
Sorry.
I do. I have a property located about three houses from the subject property. Joanne and her husband had a meeting, a neighborhood meeting, about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and invited neighboring properties to come over to her bed and breakfast, go through the facility, and hear her plans. Of course, I had known that she had been renting because I walk by her house couple times a day walking my dog. I could see numerous vehicles, out-of-state vehicles. At one point, there was like 18 motorcycles in the driveway. It was very early in the morning when I went by, so I knew they'd been there all night, and that was probably during Biketoberfest or Bike Week. But at the time, at the meeting, Joanne passed around a lot of paperwork to, there were probably 10, maybe 12 of us, talking about how she thought a B&B in the neighborhood would benefit the neighborhood. During that time, she showed us feedback that she had received from guests who stayed at the B&B, paid guests. And those feedbacks went back to December of 2015. She had two feedbacks in January 2016. She had two feedbacks in February 2016. And she had one feedback from March. She had been cited before that. She had been told not to rent the place. She was not in compliance. Now, I think, yes, she probably is not renting. But she rented the entire time during the special event season. That's our problem. If she wants it to be a B&B, then she needs to go through the process, and we will deal with issues during the other boards. But as far as I'm concerned, she continued to rent. She received money, even though she was told not to. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, please. Hello. Hi.
Tracy Remark, 815 North Oleander Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32118.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I was also at that meeting. And, yes, she did pass out that the feedback from her renters. She openly admitted that she had had renters, not guests, not giving her money, but renters. And that once she was through the special events period that she was now no longer renting because, yes, she's applying for the B&B. The concern was also that not only did she have renters, but those renters had guests. And we were assured that those guests, which stayed for the night, would leave the next morning. But it has been an ongoing short-term rental. And I understand where you are as a board tonight, or today, in terms of you've already found them in noncompliance. I think the testimony was just to offer even further proof that they continued in noncompliance even once they were cited. And thank you, Mr. Weatherholtz, for wanting to hear from members of the community that did take time out of their work schedules to be here today. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay. No. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, in light of the testimony, and I'm glad we heard it because I think it clarifies an issue where I think even from Ms. Galantine's perspective, they very well appear not to be renting right now. So it would make it more appropriate as a circumstance where, and this is, again, the board's determination to make, but I just acknowledging and accepting the testimony of the witnesses, it appears that the belief of the witnesses is, as of today, there may not be a rental going on. Not that it wouldn't resume or could resume, but at least the perspective is that it appears to have stopped after the special event.
So what are you asking us to vacate this ruling of imposed fine and then go to compliance noncompliance? Because we've already determined they were.
We determined they were in noncompliance before.
That's already done. It's already been determined that they're in noncompliance.
So
if they are in compliance today, can we issue a will fine today?
No.
Well, actually, for what we understand and define as a will fine, it's already issued. A will fine was issued at the time that we found them in noncompliance. What a will fine is a finding of noncompliance, and because of the finding of noncompliance, any future violations will be subject to a fine of up to $500,000.
$5,000.
Up to $5,000. It was 100 days. up to $5,000 per day. So that's something that happens as a matter of law when we make the finding, and that's why we changed even the language that we use in terms of asking for a will fine. It happens as a matter of law when we make the finding of noncompliance. We made that in the initial proceeding, so any future violations from that point forward will be, if it's within a five-year time period, will be considered with the enhanced penalty.
And we don't need to motion that.
No. And we really, we motioned it on an initial case because on an initial case we hadn't made the finding yet. So when a case comes before you the first time and before we make the finding of compliance or noncompliance, then we have to hear that and you have to motion it so that you can make that finding so that it has that impact. But in this case, the finding was made on an initial proceeding, so that finding is already made. So for us, our only issue for the staff to determine was trying to understand in full what the complaints were and address those complaints in such a way to make a decision on whether or not this was still occurring. As a routine event, it was concerned that it is something not, if we try and look at it on spot, it's like every other spot, it's like parking. One day you're parking and the next day you're not, and the next day you're parking. But we look at it as a continuous event. Either they're continuing to do it, even though today they may not be, but tomorrow they are, or they're not continuing. And in this case, I think at least the testimony suggests that right now they're not.
Can we look at the order we entered into?
I'd like to make a motion on this.
Non-compliance, so we can implement a fine.
Right, we can sort of fine today.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why we?
I'd like to make a motion on this that we impose a fine of $250 a day, and that as soon as we have, incurring until we have an inspector's report saying they're in compliance.
I second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Before we vote on it, Mr. Garcia, would you like to speak to us?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. There seems to be some confusion, so maybe I can try to put it in layman terms and in perspective. the property was found in noncompliance. We're here to impose a fine. However, based on the testimony from the residents in the area and on the testimony from Inspector Klig, the property at this time, today, is in compliance. So to impose a fine, it's off the table, in other words. However, with the finding of noncompliance previously, if by chance we happen to find another ad, we get word, there's some sort of proof that's come to us, then we will be bringing them before the board again as a repeat violator.
Okay.
At which time, then a fine could be imposed up to $5,000, correct. Up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Or $500.
Correct. Okay. So I think...
So we need to go ahead and find them.
Find them into...
They were in non-compliance. They are now in compliance. And case dismissed, or we went over.
No.
We don't want to dismiss the case.
That's not... They're just in compliance.
Okay.
Period.
And then come back, it's repeat violation.
Correct.
Okay. Come back to the
period. It'll be $5,000 for one time. That's an incentive. Okay.
But you still have to have a fine.
We still have to have a fine, correct?
No.
You don't have to have a fine.
We need a motion to find them in compliance as of today.
No,
we need nothing.
We're coming to you, the city's coming to you and stating that the property is in compliance.
Case is over. Correct.
Period.
Okay.
If it happens again, then we will bring it back, and then we will advise the panel that...
You don't want a dismissal then at this point.
No.
Correct. No.
No. We're done. We're finished with this case. Thank you very much. All right. Let's move on.
Can we take a break?
Do we need a break? 5-minute break, please. Please don't go out those side doors. Okay. We're taking a 5-minute break. The meeting will reconvene in less than a minute, please.
One, two, three, four, five. There are five of us here. That's quorum.
All right. We're going to move on to case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, CEB 04-16-16. Darcy Watson at 208 Fairview. Is the respondent present? All right. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us? And Mr. Fitzgerald.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that this was a very egregious violation. There's been no effort on the part of the respondent. The property remains in noncompliance. The inspector is asking for a $450 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald, and I tender Mr. Fitzgerald to the board for factual information.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Michael Fitzgerald. My credentials are on file with the City of Daytona Beach. This is the property on Fairview. What's going on is a tent, more tents. You know, outside storage, all the stuff that we've been still in noncompliance.
Okay.
Yep, the police were out there. Yep, they were out there, and they found the same exact thing going on in the evening, and so it's bad enough to wear $450 a day.
Okay. All right, the chair, any questions?
We're going to be allowed to impose a fine.
Yeah. Any questions? All right, from anyone? The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $450 per day against the respondent effective today, May 12th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to case number 9, CEB 04-16-21, Blanca Properties at 234 Michigan Avenue. Respondent present?
Yes.
come on up and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record.
Miguel Montes de Oca, 234 Michigan Avenue.
Can you spell your last name for
the group? M-O-N-T-E-S-D-E-O-C-A.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
What is your relationship to Blanca Properties?
It's in a small corporation that is formed by myself.
Okay. All right. Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The respondent, the violation was for the property. There was no permits for a new roof over the carport. The permit has been delayed. The inspector is asking for amendment to the next cutoff for the respondent to come into compliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. I tend to Mr. Fitzgerald to the board for any factual questions.
Here again, I thought we found him in noncompliance. That's why, am I looking at the wrong?
No.
It says imposed fine.
That's all they want to find at the next meeting.
Well, we're just considering amending the previous order of noncompliance for another month.
So we want to amend the previous order.
Yeah. Yes. Mr. Fitzgerald, can you tell us what's going on?
Good morning, Mike Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file. The gentleman went for the permit. They asked for revisions. He went ahead and put the revisions in. And after the revisions went in, they're asking for more revisions again. So it's he's got with the architect, so he's got the second set of revisions. It's a holdup in permit, and he's trying. So we're asking for more time.
Okay. All right, any questions? Questions? All right. Would you like to tell us anything?
Yes. I'm here kind of sitting on the limbo. I don't know what to do with this. When this happens, I was living at the property, and for my safety, I put this carport and the roof on that. Because unfortunately, I live just two houses away from Richwood Avenue, which is a very homeless and drug dealers and all that. So I'd like to know if they're really going to give me the permit or not. Or I spoke to a lady is saying that I need to apply for a variance. And the cost of the variance is $900. And I said, what's the chances that I get the variance for this? After they review it. And they said, you know, don't waste your money anymore until you hear from us, which is just telling me that they probably won't give me the variance. I don't know what to do. Either tell me do it or don't do it. I will take it down. I don't want to have any problems with anybody. Right. I don't want to waste my money.
Right.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, this... I mean, the permit is delayed. We understood that the permit's been delayed because it's been changed several times. The requirements in the permit have been changed several times.
There's a setback here?
Yes.
That he went over?
Yes.
That's what he'd be asking for the variance from the setback.
So he's going to need also to go to the Board of Adjustments?
Well, but he's not going to do that. He's going to go, my understanding is he's going to cut it or bring it back to the correct setback, which is what they're working on giving him the permit.
Okay.
It's a demo permit plus a regular permit.
Okay.
So that he can remove part of the structure where it meets the correct setbacks. Mm-hmm. And then they also want this fence cut back down to 4 feet because the house is here. This is a front porch. So he can, wants a 6-foot fence, he'd have to put it behind back here, or if he wants a fence at the front, then it has to be at
the
4 foot.
And this will all be part of the permit?
It'll be two permits in one. It'll be the permit for putting it up and then the permit for taking part of it off.
Okay. Any questions?
Right. Why was the permit issued for just a roof then?
This was installed with no permit. This is what caused it. He put this up, no permit. So once we saw that, we went, you know, and wrote him up for no permit. That's when all the process started, where he went over the setback, and all his problems came from not getting the permit to begin with.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, we don't know how long this is going to take.
We can come back every month. It should, once it's done, it should go quick.
Okay.
Right. Once he gets the permit, that's why I think we can get it within 30 days. Or
so what is the discussion?
Yeah, we will need that additional time.
Okay.
He won't be in compliance as far as even obtaining a permit until he gets it into approval status. It's not. He'll have a permit to do this work, but it won't be final until he gets it the way it has to be, without the setback, with the piece cut off, and so forth.
We need a motion to rescind the imposed fine.
Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until the next cutoff date of 6/1/16 to come into compliance, to be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Are we... go ahead. Mr. Jackson, go ahead.
I don't have anything further. I'm sorry.
Did someone make the motion?
No, we have not made the motion yet.
Is that the proper motion to eliminate the imposed fine? That's the correct
motion. Yeah. She announced it correctly if you want to give him more time.
Okay, I'll make the motion.
All right, Mr. Harrington made the motion. Second, Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, so you have till next month to get this permit. Okay. And you'll come back next month, and we'll see. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have questions, you can ask your code officer.
Okay.
Case number 10, CEB12-15-67, Neva Wilson at 1068 North Street. Respondent present, Mr. Jackson.
The property remains in non-compliance. The inspector requests that the imposition of a $250 administrative fine.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
Yes, we go back to our last meeting. And Mr. Garcia stated the property owner was deceased. His sister is going through a probate process to obtain title to the house. Mr. Garcia stated that the DTR cannot be issued to the sister until she has the authority as the owner of the house.
In this case,
she had applied for the license, but it is still under a holding status. Is this true? The answer
is here.
I can't tell you to find it. You know, this is still on a hold.
I'll look to the inspector. The inspector is John Stinson. I believe the answer is that we just haven't had any response from him, but I'll look to Mrs. Stinson, and he can answer that factual question.
Good morning.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector with City. My qualifications are on file. This case began back in October of last year. Yes, the actual property owner of record is deceased, Ms. Wilson. Her sister, however, has been actively attempting to get the property transferred over into her name, which she needs to do before she obtains this license. We really don't know how long that's going to take. So rather than just keep stringing this case along, we would like to impose the one-time $250 administrative fee.
Because they are renting the property out.
The property is still being occupied.
Yeah.
And when she does get this, then she has leave to come back for a lien review.
She has no legal control over this property, but she's allowed to rent it and take money for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a family's house. It's her family member's house. The family member is deceased.
It's in a trust, then. Or in probate, rather.
I mean, from a code perspective, right. She's not legal. I mean, she's not allowed to, but she's, you know, whatever they do outside of that, that's not our
purview. It's not in our purview, either. I mean,
it's not in front of us today.
Right, it's not in front of us today. What's in front of us today is that...
Well, it goes back
she needs
to
a BTR.
Said, she's not in ownership. How can she get a license?
$250. Hold on.
Was that a question?
Go ahead. Speak up, Mr. Harrington.
With Mr. Garcia says she's not an owner. She's not qualified to get a license. So who... technically, she's... there is no license to be issued because nobody's in control, or as you said, there's an estate involved.
That's true.
The property is being rented.
That's right.
The property's being rented. Mm-hmm. The person renting it has no legal title, and they're not allowed under our city law to get a license to rent.
Okay, so then it should be rented.
Yeah, it shouldn't be rented.
It is
rented, or the money should go back into the estate.
Mean, I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Oh, right. I know. I agree.
Well, remember to a business tax receipt is a license. I mean, it's a tax.
But I came from
right?
A license directly next door to neighbor's house, and I don't know.
I'm
sorry, let me correct myself.
Mr. Harrington is saying. Yeah,
and I do too. But let's remember that a business tax receipt is a business tax receipt is just that, it's a tax. And so if they're not paying the fee,
who owns
then
this property?
There's administrative fine.
May I?
Go ahead.
My thing is. It's sort of irrelevant as to who owns it or whoever. It's being rented now. Someone is in it now.
That's what we have to look to the inspector, but that's my understanding, yes.
Why can't we impose the fine?
I'm inclined to impose the fine. I wouldn't have thought of it had he not read the
right,
the
correct.
Yes.
We would have done that. My question is the fine goes to.
The property.
Okay. If the fine goes to the property, then I think we should just move ahead with doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So the chair will entertain a motion to impose a one-time administrative fee for the BTR of $250. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Case number 11, CEB04-16-18, William and Barbara Bearer at 756 Madison Avenue. Is the respondent present? All right, come on up, sir. Please state your name and be sworn in, and then you can take a seat while the...
William Bear, 756 Madison Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. Can you please raise your hand if you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, Mr. Stinson and Mr. Jackson.
This is before you for imposition of a fine. This case was complaint generated. It's regarding an accessory fence. The inspector is John Stinson. We're asking for it remains non-compliance. We're asking for $150 fine to a maximum of $10,000. And I tend to Mr. Stinson to get further factual information.
Okay. Mr. Stinson.
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. As Mr. Jackson stated, this did come to us as a citizen's complaint about dilapidated fencing. As you can tell by the photographs, the newer wood is the new fencing that the property owners have begun to install. Unfortunately, One, it's not complete, the installation of the new fencing. And two, during this work, other violations have been coming to light. Excuse me. The long and short of this one is that the work isn't complete yet. The case began in February of this year, and this is the current status of the property. So they remain to be in noncompliance, which is why we're asking for the fine.
What fine are you asking for?
We're asking for $150 a day to be maxed at $10,000.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bearer.
Okay, when I got my first letter that said that the fencing needed to be repaired or come down, I assumed it was the front yard fence because it was in pretty bad shape. So then I took it down, and I assumed everything was all right. I didn't hear from nobody. Then I get another letter saying that I was in noncompliance. So I figured, well, that must mean that they want the backyard fence torn down. So I went ahead and I tore down the backyard fence. And then I figured, well, I called Amy, and I explained to her that everything's done. She said, well, if everything's all corrected, then I don't have to come to the next meeting, which I didn't do. Then I get this letter stating that I'm in noncompliance. Now, I don't figure out how I could be in noncompliance when I did everything that they wanted to do. The only thing that I haven't done is, okay, let me show you some pictures if I could. This fence here is leaning up against the side of the house because it's supposed to go across the driveway if they ever get that garbage picked up in front of my driveway. This fence here I have across my driveway on the inside part so that nobody will go back there and steal some stuff from me. This is the new fence. I have a permit for it put up.
You do have a permit for that fence?
Yes, yes, ma'am. And I can show it to you. I brought it here.
Okay.
And I put up this little bit of fence, and then I realized I had to tear down more fencing. So then I stopped my work there until I could get the other done because the permit says I have 6 months. And this is the other fence that goes across the other part so that nobody can go in my backyard. I've had a whole lot of stuff stolen from me. That's why I had up all these fences and stuff. I've had my car broke into and everything. This here is the stuff that's been out there for 4 weeks, and I've called them 4 times to come and get it, and it still ain't done. So that's one reason why I'm parking my car in the front yard. Plus that, I can keep an eye on it because it's been broken into when it was over there without no fencing. And then this here, I hung above the fence because my porch, because it's kind of rotten. And I thought, well, I'll just put it there temporarily until I can get around to fixing that part. But all you have to do is tell me exactly what you want done, and I'll see to it it gets done. But nobody's telling me nothing.
Right. Well, it's not up to this board to tell you what needs to be done. It's actually your code officer. You need to talk to your code officer to find out exactly what needs to be done.
Well, I have asked him, and all he says is that come here and explain to you guys what the situation is, and you'll tell me. Because I ain't getting nothing out of him. Every time I ask him something, he just says, you're not in the compliance. That don't tell me nothing. I didn't know exactly what I have to do.
Mr. Stenson, would you come up to the mic and let's... we're here, it says, to impose a fine for accessory structure fencing. Is this for the old fencing, the new fencing?
The accessory structure is the fencing.
The fencing, correct.
And it's only concerning the old fencing. The new fencing, he's begun to correct the violation.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with the new fencing. But there are still old fencing on the property. The new fencing installation is not complete yet.
Correct.
So he still remains in noncompliance.
what's not to be. All righty. First,
your fencing needs to be uniform on the property, meaning of one type.
Well, when I got my permit for the new fence, the guy called me and said, are you going to put up gates? And I said, yeah, I'm going to have wood fence and metal gates. And he says, that's okay. But you're telling me that I can't do it that way.
I can't speak to whomever you spoke with because I wasn't there. I don't know.
Well,
I do know.
You guys approved my permit.
Okay. What I do know is that all the fencing on the property must be uniform of one material, be it chain link, wrought iron, privacy, just one type. Right now, you've got like three different types on the property.
Well, if somebody gets that garbage picked up, then I'll just take down all the fencing. I won't worry about it. There's nothing I can do about it because I don't have the money. I'm retired.
I understand.
I'm doing the best I can, and people just keep wandering in my backyard where I don't have fencing and stealing stuff. They stole all my decorations I had out a couple times and broke into my car, stole my satellite radio and everything else. And you guys tell me I can't protect my stuff because I don't do it your way. That don't even make sense.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Stenson does not make the rules. That's not where this should be going. Let's try and figure out how we can do what we need to do to get this fixed. If you took down the accessory, the old accessory, I'm not going to...
The options to correct a violation of dilapidated fencing are three choices. You can repair the fence, you can completely repair the fencing, or you can completely remove the fencing. The first two things do require permits, and that's if you're repairing more than 50% of the fence. You do not need a permit or permission to remove your fence, but to replace it and repair it, you do.
Any comments from the board?
I just have a quick question. I know that the gentleman has said he's called the city to remove the trash, but I assume the trash at the end of the driveway isn't stacked appropriately and is not in the position it should be to be picked up.
I don't know. We're not here for that either.
Well, what that causes is a car being parked on the front lawn.
I understand.
Another problem.
Right.
So.
Right.
Well, when I was tearing down the fence, I put every week for a long time. I put a lot of stuff out there, like mm-hmm. that. And I'd call them up, and they'd bring that big boom truck mm-hmm. and take
right.
it away. And this year we're here. I don't know if that guy's on vacation or if the truck broke down or what. But it's been like 4 weeks, and they have removed it yet. So I don't know what their problem is.
But Mr. Bear, you did say you would just remove all the fencing, or
yeah, I'll just take it all out, okay. And all the stuff that's on my property, I can't touch somebody else's property. But
correct.
All the stuff on my property, I'll go ahead and remove it. Best I can do. I don't have the money to buy a new stuff. I mean, that gate there that was in the front yard on the old fence. And I was going to use it to go with this fence, the new fence, but if I can't use it, then I'll figure something out. But I don't have money to pay for a fine, so I just give me time, I'll take care of the problem. I just didn't know what the problem is. I didn't know before.
Okay, so what are you saying, that you would take it down?
Yeah,
take it down. Okay.
Why don't we just look 30 days?
Okay. Another 30 days.
The
chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff date, 6/1/16, to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, a motion from Mrs. Harrington, a second.
Second.
From Mr. Smart, Mr. Harrington and Mr. Smart.
That sign don't start right away, does it?
No.
No, there'll be no sign until...
Did we vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
June 1st.
You have until June 1st to take down the fence that needs to come down. Correct?
Yes.
And please stay in touch with your code officer so you can...
The next meeting day is June 9th.
Right, June 9th would be the next day that you...
If I'm in compliance, do I have to come back?
No, not if you're in compliance.
Well, you know,
but you need to...
The inspector has to tell you you're in compliance.
Right.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Moving on to case number 12, CEB 04-16-20, David Spivey at 1100 Vine Street. Is the respondent present? Yes, they are. Please come forward.
Morning.
Hi. Please state your name and address for the record.
David Spivey, 1100 Vine Street. Okay.
I'm his wife, Rhonda Spivey, same address, 1100.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
We do.
And you can move that, adjust that microphone if you need to.
All right, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Stenson first, please. Then we'll give you a chance to talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board. This is a violation of outside storage. It's before you for imposition of a fine. It's complaint generated. The respondents have made little progress. They happen to be people who are storing excessive amounts of things on property. Staff is working with them to help them get this remedied. We're asking that it be amended to the next, I mean, to 60 days to the, where are we? This is.
July
12th. To the July cutoff. And for them to come into compliance, John Stinson is the inspector, and I attend to Mr. Stinson for any additional factual questions.
Mr. Stinson.
Good morning again. John Stinson, code inspector. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is also a complaint-driven issue of outside storage. We would like to amend this, like Mr. Jackson said, to the June cutoff because we have an upcoming event that's going to address a lot of the issues that they have on their property. There's going to be bringing in a lot of agencies to hopefully give them some assistance to get the stuff cleaned up. They do need the help, and we're willing to give them a hand.
Okay. So I think that, you, Mr. Jackson, you mentioned July 5th. Is that what you mean, or June?
I'm sorry.
July. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
July.
So there will be agencies that are going to come in and help you clean this up. Are there? I mean,
think we need Mr.
Garcia.
Okay.
To elaborate on that a little bit.
All right.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we are requesting for the time my staff as well as other agencies throughout the county are going to be receiving some sort of in-service training that's going to provide us a tool, a mechanism to help individuals who are in the situation as the couple behind me to assist them. And if they choose to accept the help, then they'll have that available to them. However, we can't force it upon them. They have to be willing to do it themselves. So once these tools have been provided to us, we're going to pass it along to them. And with that, like anything else, we're looking for voluntary compliance and as well as education for the public. So, and that's why we're asking for the extra time. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Would you like to say anything?
Well, yeah, I appreciate
that. Well, come up and talk into the mic, please.
I appreciate the fact that you're willing to work with us. I mean, there's like 50 years of stuff there that we that he inherited, you know. And the good thing that has come out of this, that his brother is now speaking to him after about 13 years. There's just the two of them left. And so maybe that will help with making a will and all that, because and nobody was talking to anybody. So I do appreciate any help we got. Last year we did try to get on the Hoarder show. That dropped out because we were too happy, they said. There wasn't enough drama. So I guess we've got drama. Anyhow, I do.
But you're willing to.
Yes, we're very willing to have any kind of help. We're just, it's really way beyond anything that we could possibly do on our own. We don't have the financial resources. We don't have anybody helping us at all. It's just, we just got, we inherited a big, inherited a big mess. And then we had a fire 6.5 years ago, and that just made matters worse. I thank you very much. We appreciate any help we can get.
Thank you.
Any comments from the board? All right with everyone? Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until July 5th to come, 2016 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So.
Motion by Mrs. Himes.
Second.
Second by Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
That cutoff date is July 6th.
Okay, the cutoff date is July 6th. So, okay. All right, clarification. All right, thank you. Stay in touch with your code officers.
I'll get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Madam Chair, we have number 13 is present in the audience, number 18 and 19.
All right, so 13 is here, 18 is here, and 19 is here. So we'll hear those cases first. All right, let's. I'm going to just start with 13, which would be CEV 0516-23 Julian Pompey at 243 Wellington Drive. Is the respondent present?
No, he's not.
Oh, I thought. See.
No, you're not Julian Pompey, are you?
Number 13. You're number 18.
So is number 13 here or not?
We have a witness.
All right, we're just going to. Okay, let's just do the case and.
Yeah, and we have a witness for this case.
Okay.
This property is in. Yes.
Yeah, I've called this case. Yeah.
Right. Code Officer Garcia, my credentials are on file. This is 243 Wellington, where it is in compliance, but we're asking for a will fine.
Okay.
The property's had numerous complaints, emails on the vehicles on the property parking on the grass. And the pictures show pretty much what's going on. There's different vehicles, and the driveway has been vacant, allowing a vehicle to park in the driveway, but they chose to park in the grass. Even at one time, the vehicle was even in the street, parked too close to the stop sign, which had to be towed.
Okay. Madam Chair, also we have Ms. Franklin here from the Homeowners Association, and she'd like to be heard.
Okay, please come forward. Please state.
My name is Pat Franklin.
You may solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the right is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Pat Franklin, and I'm president of the Georgetown Homeowners Association. Unfortunately, this property and this property owner is very well known to the code board, but we're here today because of parking issues. Mr. Pompey is a city employee, a firefighter, first responder, and I started getting complaints originally with regard to his parking of his rather large vehicle in the road when there was adequate parking in the driveway. Originally, the complaint was there was The truck was left in the road for an extended period of time, and the tags had expired. Then he got tags. Then the complaint was that he was parking, has got a corner property. The parking was right at the stop sign, forcing people around into the other lane, either going off of his street or coming onto his street. So he was cited for that. Then he started parking in the grass to the side of the driveway with no vehicle in the driveway. I started getting complaints about that. I forwarded the complaints to Officer Garcia. He was Julian was cited. He stopped it for a while. Then he did it again. I got another complaint. I thought, well, we'll try to do this another way. So I went to his house. The driveway was empty. A car was in the side yard. So I knocked on the door. Mr. Pompey came to the door. And I said, you know you're not supposed to park in the yard. Just go on and move the car and put it in the driveway. His statement to me was, when you stop having my truck towed, I'll stop it then. And I explained to him, I did not have your truck towed. And he said, yeah, right. And I said, Julian, just move the car and put it in the driveway and let's end this. And he said, you're no longer welcome on my property. Get the hell off my property. And I said, fine. I said, then you're going to be dealing with code. I'm tired of dealing with you. So subsequently, it's been off and on and off and on and off and on. And today when I was coming to this meeting, the driveway is completely empty. But he's got the big truck parked in the street, and there's just no reason for it. Plus, I've got my printer's not that great. But I've got a picture that I took, and I'll give to the code board. This was on March 11th. His truck and his car clearly fit in the driveway. It's not a question that it doesn't fit. It's a question that he's placing us in a position, and that's why we're seeking, through Officer Garcia, a will fine, because he is doing it just to place us in the city in a position to have to continually babysit his property. It's a waste of city resources. This is coming from a first responder. None of us get it. So any assistance that you can give us, because I'm willing to sit here for 2 hours. He, as you can see, he's not here. Right. He does not take this seriously. So I think a loud message needs to be sent to him. Thank you so much. Thank you.
He is aware of the notice, too. As a matter of fact, just recently I was called to the property, and I had to call a unit for a well-being check because the door was wide open, and the police officer came in and they seen the notice on his counter. But it's a constant issue with the vehicles.
So we're looking for a will fine, but it's in compliance right this minute.
Yes.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance, been currently in compliance, and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. And then that's it, right? That's it. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mrs. Himes made the motion, and who made the second?
Mr.
Harrington made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, thank you. Now,
The next one, if I can do also, it's...
I think, what was the next one, 18?
14 is my next one.
Well, we're going to do, because there are people here and they've been here since 9 o'clock, we're going to do case number 18 first. All right. Respondents present in CEB 0516-27 Daytona Ocean Rentals, LLC. Respondent present. Well, that's working out well. No.
Okay.
18 is case number CEB 05-16-27, Daytona Ocean Rentals, LLC. Right?
The owner is not here.
That's all right, but if you're here for the case, just come forward and be sworn in and state your relationship to the owner. Okay,
my name is Mike Manderville. I am the neighbor directly next to the property, west of the property, and I'm also the vice president of the Southeast Neighborhood Association.
Denise DeBato, 611 Braddock Ave. I live with Mike. We're neighbors.
Okay.
Right adjacent. To
all right. If you'll have a seat, and then we'll listen.
Also, the other neighbor on the other side would have been here, but she was pretty ill, so she couldn't make it.
Okay, that's fine.
Raise your hand, please.
Yeah, go ahead, swear.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony about providing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, you'll have a seat, and then we'll talk to Mr. Stenson and to Mr. Jackson first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. This is a multifamily unit. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains is currently in noncompliance, and he's asking that you give till next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance. He indicates that the respondent is working on compliance. And I turn to Mr. Stinson for any further facts or
information. Okay. Mr. Stinson, thank you.
Good morning again. John Stinson, code inspector. My qualifications are on file with the city. This case came to me as a police complaint. In fact, the police were actually actively out there when I went to do my site inspection. Originally, this had to do with some interior issues with electrical. Since then, it's kind of snowballed. Right now, they do remain in noncompliance for all the cited violations. There is supposedly a change in management of the property. I have not made contact with them. The only change is that they have begun to paint the exterior. It's not complete. It's not done. They're in noncompliance. We're asking for next cutoff, please.
How many units are there? Do we know?
We got three. There's a total of five. There's got enough room for eight. There's two structures
on
the property.
So there's five units that are occupied at this point?
On and off.
During the time of inspection, they were occupied.
All of the units were occupied?
I only was addressing the eastern side, which is the 615 side, dual address.
Okay.
Actually, there's three different addresses. You have two up front and a structure in the rear. Mm-hmm. But 615 was my focus when I was out there.
Okay. All right, what would you like to tell us? Come on up, Mr. Manderville.
Well, since Eldon York took possession of this property back in August of 14.
That means he owns the property.
Yeah, he bought it, the LLC that owns the property, but he's pretty much the sole person that owns the property. Since he bought it, there was other decent tenants there. I mean, we've known tenants there that have lived there, 20 years and stuff. And he had one bad tenant. And we, as neighbors, tried to work with him to get rid of this one tenant that was constantly, he was fighting in my yard. There's drug activity all the time, constant fights over drugs. I was going out there trying to, break things up and calling the police to get things done. And he, instead of getting rid of those people, he tried to. He always has an excuse and tries to, you know, tell everybody, you know, nothing's his fault and stuff. Instead of getting rid of these people, he actually moved friends of theirs into the other units and pushed out decent people. There was a family living upstairs with a child and stuff, and they had to leave because of the hypodermic needles all over the property. We get hypodermic needles thrown on our property. Our other neighbor on the other side got them on their property. He brought in, moved in all people into all the different units that know each other. They're all in drugs. They're all involved in drugs. There was drug dealers coming using our driveway as their own. There's many code violations. I mean, the code violations that he has isn't even the tip of the iceberg. He's built a bedroom in the upstairs apartment on his own, done the wiring on his own, no licensed contractors. The person painting the house right now, which he's trying to make it look like he's doing something, he's painting sections, is a drug addict himself. He's been up on the roof trying to do roof repairs, no permits, no license work at all. We've as neighbors, we've tried to help the landlord in the beginning. He won't evict anybody. They are the ones destroying the property, breaking windows and stuff. He's right along with them. He hangs out with them. He eats with them. He lets them use his car. He's totally involved in this. We called code enforcement and the police tons and tons of times. Couldn't get any response. I finally did a letter to on the city website that went, I guess, to the, I don't know whether it went to the city manager or where it went. The next day, I got a call by the police, the SWAT officer that set up the raid, and by code enforcement. Helped SWAT officer get the evidence, the stuff they need to set up the raid. During that raid is when code enforcement finally got involved. I had many, many code issues, like them running extension cord, which I took pictures before I came here this morning. Extension cord is back on the ground, running from the laundry room in the back building all the way through the parking lot to the front building, running lights and stuff in the front building today. Plenty of garbage all around the property. None of the code violations have been fixed. We are here today to plead to you to do the maximum you can do, because the only way he will not listen to police. Police have explained several times what he needs to do and what he should do and things like that. He laughs about it after they leave. He thinks nothing can be done to him. He's like a child. So the maximum you can do, the only way he's going to change is if he's made to change. He's not going to change on his own. You know, we have pleaded and pleaded with this guy. I would like the room that he's got upstairs to either be taken out or have a general contractor go in and make sure it's fit. He moved a family upstairs, which is supposed to be the new management that you spoke of. They have no responsibilities at all. He doesn't give them any responsibilities. It's a joke. They said they got into a situation. He promised them things that they're sorry they ever moved there. There's one other good family that lives in the back, or couple that lives in the back. They are actually moving out. They told him last night that they were giving him, they wanted to use their last month's rent to get out of there. He started sending them threatening texts that I read, trying to threaten them with all kinds of things. It's a list of stuff. I read their lease. It's a joke. He thinks he can do whatever he feels like doing, and there's no accountability at all. When the painter was actually there, a few weeks ago, he's pressure washing parts of the building. He was pressure washing a side that's right next to our property. When the wind was blowing towards ours and all these flakes of paint are all over my property, I told him he had to stop. He argued with me. He said, I'll clean it up. I said, you're not going to be able to clean up all this stuff all over the property. There's little flakes of paint everywhere, chips of paint all over my property. I cleaned up most of it. If you go there right now, there's still paint chips that I haven't even got all of. He got mad, left a mess on the stairs and on their pavement over there. Wind was still blowing on my property. Called the police. The police took pictures. They said they were going to forward to code enforcement. I think the police also took pictures of the extension cord again to forward. I don't know if you ever got the pictures. But we've been putting up with this far too long. We are sleep deprived. We are on our edge.
How long have you been putting up with this?
Over a year, about a year and 8 months, something like that.
Almost 2 years. Is this the site of the street of the famous billboard?
Yes, that's my billboard. Yep.
Okay.
And it's mainly because in the beginning, we could not get any help. You know, you call the police in 45 minutes, they show up. Hey, what's going on? Well, nothing now. You know, you missed it. You know, I took care of it.
Okay.
But we're on our edge. You know what I mean? We're sleep deprived and we're tired.
Right. Yeah. All right. Now let me tell. I I don't want you, there's what we can do today is find this property in compliance or non-compliance. That's legally what we're allowed to do for the issues that are cited here.
Okay.
You may want to talk to your code officer, and if there are other avenues that can be pursued, he can describe those to you, other things in the city that
okay.
we can't tell you what yeah. to do.
Did you want to see the pictures I took today of the violations that are still
going on? I'm understanding. I think we're all pretty yeah. clear about what's going on at this
We're point. Hoping that you'll just impose the, you know, just maximum
right.
you can
what,
do. We want to see
What we can
them.
Do today is find him in compliance or non-compliance.
Okay.
If we find him in non-compliance, he will come back for a fine.
Oh, so you won't impose a fine today
we
until you hear from him?
We cannot do that. Legally, we can't okay. do that, and it's not a city law. It's a state law. There's nothing that,
okay.
that it's just the way it is.
Now, you're not the same board that does the nuisance property
no,
abatement, right?
Because
we sent letters to them, too.
Yeah,
but,
no.
Now, also, I don't know if you do this. They said that the police keep threatening them, saying that after so many police calls, they
that
get charged.
That would be a police issue.
But who handles the actual? There is no. I don't know if there's any such statute as charging them for police calls.
Yes, there is.
Does anybody know the actual number? Because nobody's been able to tell me yet.
The police have to give you that. We can't give you information.
The police won't tell me. I've asked several police. They won't. They won't. They don't know.
We're upwards of 100.
There's a city code.
There is a procedure.
City code 58.
Yeah, chapter 58 of city code has a excessive call.
Excessive use.
Okay, we'll look that up.
Okay.
Is that all you need from you? Want to say?
Yeah. Unless you have anything to add.
Yeah, we prefer your testimony be relating to the things that are.
Yeah, I understand.
Right.
We just don't, I mean, we get, like, nobody can tell us certain things we need to
right.
know, you know, when we
yeah.
try and.
Is your property on the north side of Reading?
We're south of that.
South.
You're on the south.
No.
The north of what? Of which one?
Yeah,
you're on Braddock.
We're on Braddock. We're west of his property, the house right next to it on the west side of him.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
No, I think so.
I just want to say that, in my opinion, he's made no attempt to really make any improvements
okay.
and or do anything. So
one more time. The other tenants there have told me that he's actually said he's just going to let you guys condemn it, and then everybody will leave, and then he'll be able to start over.
Get everybody out.
You might want to speak to Mr. Garcia, too. He can tell you maybe some other avenues that you can pursue. But we will rule on this today. Ms. Pyle, would you like to come up and testify? I mean, it's up to you. I thought I saw your hand go up. State your name.
Amy Pyle, 136 South Grandview Avenue.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the
truth? Yes, I do. I would just like to request that we understand why this tenant or this landlord still has a rental property inspection license with all of those violations. I think it should be removed. And then the issue of the calls, excessive calls for service, it's 15 incidents of service or 10 man hours of service in any weekly period, whichever occurs first. On any particular property, then they begin to be charged. I am, you know, I would like to find out how that charge, and I'm going to be
okay.
working on that.
Okay.
How,
all right. So,
no, that's not for you guys.
You need to talk to the appropriate
yes.
agencies and people, and start with Mr. Garcia
Thank
and
you.
Mr. Jackson as well. Okay. So we are going to rule on this. Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, June 1, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case number 19. Now, now you come up. This is case number 19 CEV0516-28. Khalid Sabek?
Yes.
Okay.
My name
804 Derbyshire.
Yeah, my name is Khalid Sabek, 804 Derbyshire.
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you've provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Thank you.
All right, we will hear from Mr. Jackson and Mr. Stenson first.
This matter is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. The inspector, John Stenson, reports that the property remains in noncompliance. The complaint is that there was a violation of doing renovations without permits, I think building a back staircase, attend to Mr. Stenson for any further factual information.
Okay. Mr. Stenson?
Yeah. Good morning. John Stenson, code inspector. My files are on. My credentials are on file with the city. This property at 804 Derbyshire came to me as a complaint from City Hall of work without permits. I did check. There were no permits. There was a full renovation going on with the property. Most particular, the rear of the property, the rear steps. Since this case has begun, I've met the owner on property twice. We have discussed all the things that he needed to do to bring the property into compliance. And as of May 10th, which was Tuesday, he did apply for a permit, and it's currently under review. So currently right now, he's still in noncompliance.
Okay.
And we're asking for noncompliance next cutoff.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sabek, would you like to say anything?
Yeah. I just closed on this house. It was bank owned,
mm-hmm.
like the way you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the stairs is back. We have permit for it. So that our contractor, he's going to do it. That pool there, it was there. So we moved it yesterday. That blue window there on the front,
mm-hmm.
we're going to change that. We got permit for that.
Okay.
So we got two permits for the stair in the back
mm-hmm.
and for the front window.
Mm-hmm.
And like you see a hole in the, I don't know, that was for cats or something
mm-hmm.
from the previous owner. But we tried to make the property looks nice. And it was closed for almost, I think, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now we try to do the best.
Right.
That's
okay.
All.
So you have gotten with Mr. Stenson, and you know what permits you need, and you're applying for them.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, June 1st, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Now we have a motion, Mr. Smart, and a second. Second, Mrs. Himes, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed, motion carries. Thank you.
Do you have to come on? If everything is done, do I have to come? Is it on?
You talk to him. If you're found in compliance by your code officer, you won't have to come.
Thank you so much.
All right. Now, let's go back and finish up. I think we're on case number 14.
Yes.
CEB 0516-31, Jennifer and Jason Hanstein at 1119 Balboa Avenue.
Code Inspector Garcia, credentials on file. This is another case where it's in compliance, but we are asking for a will fine, being that this boat seems to keep returning on
okay.
the driveway.
Okay.
Mr. Garcia, just a clarification. What are the rules about a boat in a driveway?
Boats, trailers, and RVs can be on the property on the side or rear yard behind the building line. The building line is the front of your building, so they have to be behind that. This one is in front of it.
So if you had a property that was had the parking for the garage on the side of it, but in plain view, and a boat was parked right there almost touching the sidewalk, is that a violation?
Another thing is that you have houses that are on the corners.
Mm-hmm.
A corner counts as two fronts,
mm-hmm.
so you can't have it on either. It has to be It has to be between the house next door and that house, or on the other side
and
in the
that's
rear.
That's legal?
Right. It has to be behind it, though.
Oh, behind it. Couldn't be touching the sidewalk.
No.
No.
All right. Thank you.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance, and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Well, okay, a motion from Mr. Smart, a second from Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Thank you. Okay, now. It's a will fine. All right, case number 16.
For excuse me.
Jasmine Johnson, CEB 051625 at, it just says South Grandview Avenue vacant lot parcel number. I'm not going to read all those. What can you tell us, Mr. Jack?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector reports that there's been no contact with anyone. No one's responded. The property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for you to for noncompliance next cutoff.
Okay. Cheryl, any comments from anybody? Cheryl, entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance or whether respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, June 1st, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right. Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. We have one more case. CEB 15-16-26, Ernesto Hernandez at 1011 Alice Drive. Sir, are you here to...
Yes, I was here earlier, but I got called away to an emergency during the first break. And I got back.
Thank you.
Number 18.
That was an honor. We've already ruled.
Yeah,
we've ruled on that case. You can talk to the code officer.
I was here. And
yes. We understand.
There's an awful lot of things you should hear.
We can't do that. Now, you talk to your code officer now because we've already ruled on the case. All right, we're just going to do this last case then. This is no one showed up, so Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Okay, this is number 17, 1011 Alice Drive, correct? The this is before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. This is complaint-driven. The inspector reports, the inspector's John Stinson, and reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. And I turn to Mr. Stinson for any factual information.
One more.
Good morning, John Stinson again, code inspector. My qualifications are on file. This was a citizen's complaint of the conditions of the property, peeling paint, damaged roof. Dilapidated shed, exterior surfaces. I have had no contact with the property owner except for yesterday for the first time. Actually, I thought the house was vacant. He actually does live
Someone
there.
Someone lives there. Okay.
He actually does live there. There was a bit of a language barrier. However, he did come to the understanding of the things that he needed to do.
Okay.
I told him how long the case has been going on, and he says he will do his best to bring it into compliance by the next cutoff. So we are.
There's a lot. Okay, that's
yeah.
fine. That's fine.
So,
okay.
Noncompliance, next cutoff, please.
Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
I think the motion was Mr. Smart and the second was Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right. Motion carries. Is there any miscellaneous business?
Yeah, if there's anything the board specifically wants for the workshop, let Amy know and we'll try to accommodate you.
And can you give us the date of the workshop again?
I believe we have to settle on. It was June
29th.
Okay.
Yes, at 1:30.
Okay.
We need to verify with... Oh,
no, I don't see it.
Okay.
Okay, that's cool.
629. Where's it going to be? Do we know?
I believe we're going to go ahead and do it at the police department.
Okay.
In the constat room.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which one?
It's at the police department, isn't it?
In the afternoon, it's, it's an afternoon, so.
Just getting flat happy.
1:30, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So we're meeting at 1:30 then.
Okay.
3:30 or okay. 4:30.
Anything else? Anybody have any other comments? Mr. Garcia?
Okay, Mr. Harrington had asked for Reed Berger to come in, the Director of Development Services. Do you still want to hear from him? Or?
Absolutely.
Okay, so then I guess we'll be staying here. We're getting Mr. Berger. And as far as the workshop goes, was that covered?
Yeah, we just talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's Mr. Berger coming for?
Trying to explain to me why it takes a month to get a permit through a civil army thing. I'm sure there's all kinds of reasons.
But that's, you got to realize, Reed Berger and the situation that you questioned is in a redevelopment area. It's not the normal process for someone else.
Is that something we have to say? We're really that interested.
You can ask to be excused. Yeah.
You can ask to be. Yeah, that's true. You could ask to be excused.
Mr. Harrison, well, can I hear again? I didn't hear what you said.
This is a dispatch service station, an ISP that has an awning that has a code. And last February, they were cited. He applied for a permit. Told he got the wrong permit. He applied for another permit the same day. Since last February, we haven't got a permit to put up $200-$300 on that property. We bring people up here and we threaten them with a fine because they haven't done code enforcement. I just don't think it should be on our agenda if the problem is one with a process caused by the city. Plus, I don't think having vetting from the president, that doesn't mean I'm the expert. I do not see how it takes that long if you call your meetings every month. Of course, if you don't have meetings, then you can't make rules.
Okay. That's interesting.
That's tough.
Mr. Bryan is here. He can.
Uh-oh. Hey, that's all not me.
What the question is, in a case last month, the city's not on the agenda.
It was one of the ones that I announced in compliance.
Yeah. Okay, so it's in compliance.
Yes, sir.
They got the permit. Suddenly, they got the permit. Okay, that's amazing.
But I understand what you're saying is that if the problem seems to be a permitting problem or a licensing, and it goes on and on, how? But I don't know how we're to judge whether it's the problem in the permitting department or whether it's because the person isn't fulfilling what they need to do for the permit. I think what I'm hearing you say is that we should be able to ask someone that question from permits and licensing.
What I'm saying is, if it is a permitting problem, as we've told,
right,
there are reasons, whatever the reasons are, we should be told those in that case. If it is a permitting problem, which the client has done what they are supposed to do.
Right.
Then why put it on our agenda and threaten them with a fine when it's not his fault?
Well, I don't know that they've done what they're supposed to do. That's right. They're supposed to get a permit.
In February, I think 3 months is sufficient time.
I don't know whether that's
things are different in the blinded areas also.
Excuses, but I think you know better.
Maybe Mr. Bryan can give us a little light on it.
Charles Bryant.
I mean, I don't even know that it's a problem just for the redevelopment areas, right?
It isn't. We've had it with the permitting.
Right. So is this okay?
I just Charles Bryant Redevelopment Department. When you're looking at permits, it goes through the permits and license department, but if it's in a redevelopment area, it's sent up to that particular redevelopment project manager to look at it. We look at it from different aspects as they would downstairs, because we're looking for to make sure it's allowable use in that area. Also, we're looking at design guidelines that they normally wouldn't look at downstairs. So once the application comes up to us, then we review it and we send it back, put it in and track it, and it goes back through the process.
You are aware that
Mr. Berger is here now.
It has to be traced directly to the services you're providing. You either should have put that as a higher priority, or you should notify code people and say, pull it off your jet if you're not ready.
Yeah. I mean, you do it that.
And then be told at the end that it's approved.
Right.
There's two questions. So,
Mr. Berger is here.
And that's the purpose. I'm sorry.
And I don't know whether it is just a redevelopment thing that we're talking about. I think we're just talking about permits and licensing in general, correct? But this one particular case. Okay. Yes. Please.
Chairman Cooley?
Hi.
Hi.
How's everybody?
Welcome.
I'm coming in the middle of this, so my apologies.
You're coming at the end of a long meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's not your problem.
For all of you. Okay. So there's a concern about the process.
Sure.
My concern initially is to bend with you. My concern is that somebody comes before us for a client.
Somebody comes to us, they haven't done what they're supposed to do. Fine, we fine them. In the proceedings, we're told, well, you should have applied for a permit. I did apply for a permit, but they told me that wasn't the right permit. Well, I applied for the second permit. When did you apply for it? The same day that I applied for the first permit. When was the what was that date? February something or other. Last month we heard this case.
Is this somebody told me this had something to do with 325 West ISP?
Yeah.
Is that right? The car wash?
Car wash.
Okay.
And
well,
all I'm saying is, what's the bureaucracy involved in a simple awning?
Well, I don't want to point fingers at people, but I do know a little bit about this particular address and the case. In fact, I think I was a complainant in this matter because I would keep driving by it. And as you know, the ISP corridor is near and dear to all of us to improve the look. And this was one of the I thought more offensive buildings along the area, and wanted to do something finally with what was an attempt to continue to unprofessionally take care of an awning that was falling apart, that and as well some signage and other issues. And so we never got permits. There's never been a permit pulled on this property,
right.
Number one. And it was patched together, and just weren't getting any good cooperation here from property owners. I'm sure you see a lot of that.
If that's the issue, then we've solved it.
Yeah. I think it still goes back to the point, Neil, and I appreciate the question. What happens is, and in this case, is you have somebody who's making an application using the wrong form. We tell them an awning, which is a little bit unusual. In this case, it's a sign, and it needs to be addressed as a sign awning. Just different. Okay? So all we're trying to do is change, tell them to change it. That means they go back. They did not apply the same day the same thing. There was a month in between there.
Right.
And so I don't know the exact dates, but I know that really this, when first of all, and this is going on permits and licensing and us. is you need to do things within about 5 days or so in response. When we can, we try to do it the same day. We're not always in the office on the same day. But when things get sent back and forth, we're doing a much better job because the system itself is better and in responding. And there's a few that get away from us. I don't think this was one of them, but it did, you know, it did require correction a couple times. They gave us bad information the second time around, and by the third time, they got it right and provided us a professional drawing, and we were able to approve a permit, and that's out the door now. Okay. So it's all okay. But
a lot of the testimony, obviously, yeah, that we were given was not true.
That's true.
I think the point is that do we need to have a permit person here to either tell us what's actually going on with, you know, down in permitting? You know, because if this person comes up and says, well, I had to do it 10 times, well, it's because you did it wrong 10 times. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe, you know.
Here's what they do. There's a place. You're familiar with the Track-It system, and
yeah,
maybe you've looked in that thing. And in this case, there's a little section at the bottom that says chronology. And a lot of times they kind of tell you, well, what, you know, there's some notes in there tell you what's going on. And
but that we're not supposed to really, for code cases, we're not supposed to go look up that information particularly, but maybe
often we do. Typically we present that to you.
Yeah, okay, so that's presented to us.
Inspector pulls it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We provide that in response.
Good. Okay, well, that's good.
Again, you know, you have to come into play that people are human.
Right.
And number two, if somebody's on the hot seat, they're going to come up with any type of excuse as a stall tactic to come on. And we, at times, you know, when it comes to a case, I have instructed my staff, and if we've carried a case for a period of, say, 6 months, it's time to bring it before the court.
Right, absolutely.
Because now you all have the authority to light a fire under their themselves. Okay? And get this moving along. So there are going to come times that, you know, you're going to see that we're going to bring a case time and time and time again because that fire has just not been lit. So if you tell them, here, we're ready to impose a fine, oh, my God, I'm going to get a fine, that the tactic is get them here and let's get this thing moving. Otherwise, you're going to get the fine.
Right.
So, again, every case is dealt with, and I've said this to the board on numerous occasions, on a case-by-case basis. I mean, we go over these cases, we go over them with Tony. If there's a case that has fallen by the wayside, which there have been, and you know what, with the amount of work that my staff does, you know, there's going to be some that slip through the cracks. If it's not right, and I don't feel that it's right, we start that case all over again. So, you know, the situation with the canopy, again, like Reed said, there's design standards. They fill out the wrong application. They tell us they applied for it. Okay, but now it gets to Reed. Wrong application, wrong information. It gets kicked back. They take 3 weeks to bring it in. That's not our fault. We've done what we can.
Yeah, but my thing was, when Robert was there and he said he redid it the same day, that was my clue right then. No, wait,
right.
You have to
this time, listen, we had an individual here, without bringing up his name or bringing up the case, lied to your faces here, all going downstairs. Yeah, he went downstairs, he went down the front stairs. Okay? And never applied for anything. So again, you know, we can't control what they tell you.
Well, that's true. And we can only accept what, you know, what people testify to, and, you know, they're under oath, and that's, you know, sir, you're under oath. So that's all we can do. But I do see sometimes there are problems between when something gets permitted and when it comes to code. So, that, you know, sometimes we do have questions for permit.
Right.
Oh,
it's perfectly good.
to ask when this person applied and what the problems were.
I think what the board would like, I don't want to speak for the board, but occasionally we may need you at a meeting.
Right, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Oh, that's fine. I'm happy to... Let's not let any of this stuff fester. You know, let's get it clear.
Right. Yeah, Charles is here all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So Charles, I'm sure, can answer any and all of your questions, but I'm happy... To drop by as well.
Building unlicensing person, correct? Yeah, and if this really refers, we're really only talking about what happens in a redevelopment area. So, okay.
And Madam Chair, you just mentioned the building. You got to and like the gentleman that was up here squawking and screaming that we're not doing anything. You know, he just said, well, as an electrical inspector, no, you're wrong. We're not electrical.
Right, exactly.
So we cannot. I can't. My staff cannot go in and say, yeah, that's a faulty electrical outlet or anything else. He is not qualified for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, like I explained to him, and again, this is all about education. People don't understand the process. They feel that because it's written in code, well, there's the Florida Building Code, there's the Fire Code, there's, you know, Municipal Code, Land Development Code. They feel that it all falls under code enforcement.
Right.
And a lot of it, it doesn't. The only thing we enforce is Land Development Code and certain codes of ordinances because we can't enforce all of them.
In defense of the owner of the property there that we're speaking of, I think they're new. They came in the middle of this and acquired the property, and they inherited the problem. So they're trying to be responsible and fix it, and we appreciate that. So, yeah, there's some you know, challenges out there, but appreciate what you all do, and we're going to try to do our part to be responsive as quickly as possible to move the process through. That's our direction from the top, is get responses back as quickly as possible to everyone. But there's a few that are complex, and there are some going back and forth, and sometimes it is months before we resolve something. So.
Yeah, and then, yeah, okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Thank you for coming.
I'll be back when you need
me.
Thank you.
Anything else from anyone?
No.
All right. Meeting adjourned.